Today's reading is from Genesis 7, and it's verses 10 to 24. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. And rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast according to its kind, and all the livestock according to their kinds, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, 2 and 2 of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. And all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land, in whose nostrils was the breath of life, died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and the birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth for 150 days.
Judgment Day. How will you respond to the news of a judgment day? You don't have to be in London long to see someone preaching, repent, believe. Nor do you have to watch many films to see the scenes of end times. Nor do you have to read far in the Bible to get to a day of judgment. So how do you respond to the news of a coming judgment day? Perhaps like me, judgment day used to be on my mind, and yet it has fallen off my radar. Or maybe it's a summer's day, and Judgment Day feels so distant, it feels more like fiction than fact. Or perhaps in church we use the word judgment so often that we forget what it truly means, how it must feel. What is your response to the Day of Judgment? If it's your first Sunday with us, this is a heavy topic. But I'm glad we are all here, because it is a crucial question. Genesis 5 to 11, over the past few weeks, we have been seeing humanity, just like the Titanic, sink in slow motion. Humanity created gloriously, and yet we rebelled against our Creator. God promised judgment, and now judgment comes. What is your response to the Day of Judgment? Maybe we think Genesis is a world away, a long time ago. But Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so in the days of the Son of Man. Just as in Noah's day they faced a day of judgment, today too, we still face a day of judgment to come. The question is, how will you respond? And our passage will give us 2 things to really help us respond rightly And the first thing is this, that the Lord is faithful to judge and save. Look with me at verse 10. And after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. The promised flood finally comes. Do you remember last week, 6 verse 7? I will blot out man whom I have created. 6 verse 13, I have determined to make an end of all flesh. 6 verse 17, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth. 7 verse 4, I will send rain on the earth 40 days, 40 nights. And now, judgment comes. The Lord keeps his promise to judge. Our Lord is a promise-keeping God. Notice this is the Lord judging. It's no freak accident of nature. This is an act of God. The God who in day two of creation separated the waters below from the waters above. Now the waters burst up from below and crash down from above. I wonder how many windows there are in the heavens, but God opened them all and judgment came down. If you're starting to worry about the character of God, remember last week we saw that the punishment fits the crime. Humanity ruined earth, and now God rightfully ruins us. We're in the days of a leadership contest. Great promises will be made to sort out mess, to end violence and corruption. Great promises, but few will be kept. But not our Lord. He has the will and the power to judge. He is a promise keeper. He follows through. There might be some dates or anniversaries that are etched in your mind. A day that you learnt something about God or about yourself. Well, here we have a date that the Lord wants to etch into our minds. The 17th day of the second month of the 600th year of Noah's life. A day to remember that the Lord will judge. He is faithful to judge. He promised in Noah's day he would judge. And also in our day, he promises and he will judge. He's got a track record. I used to have a scrap of paper in this Bible that said, maybe today. I've since lost that piece of paper and I've since lost, I think, that perspective. What a reminder. Maybe I need to write a new message in my Bible that the Lord is faithful to judge. Maybe that day feels so long off, a long time coming. You turn on the news and you see corruption, violence, war. Hard to imagine that one day all these things will be righted. But they will. The Lord is faithful to judge. The day of judgment. And the day of salvation. The Lord is faithful to judge and save. Verse 13. On the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast. They went into the ark with Noah, verse 15. The Lord keeps his promise to judge and save. Do you remember last week the Lord promises a safe space? 6 verse 17. He said, I will bring a flood of waters. And he said, but I will establish my covenant, my promise with you. And you shall come into the ark. Finally, it's move-in day. Noah, Mrs. Noah, his sons, the in-laws, the beasts, the dogs, the pandas, the kangaroos, the livestock, the sheep, the goats, the cows, the creeping things, the ants, the spiders, the sloths, the birds and winged creatures, the doves, the pigeons, the cassiaries, the cormorants. Verse 15, two of each kind, male, female, with the breath of life, from the Lord of life, enter into the ark. if you've got a Disneyfied Caribbean cruise in your head. Think again. Nor is it the days of move-in day at university, chaos and excitement. Think more of Ukrainians heading to the bunkers. This is salvation from judgment. The Lord is faithful to save. Do you remember those parts in films when disaster strikes and the adults, the dad or mum, gather their children and say, "Trust me, it's all going to be okay." But you look in their face and you know it's a promise they cannot keep. But our Lord is not like that. He never lies. When he says, "Trust me, you're going to be safe," he means it. He is trustworthy. Consider his faithfulness to Noah from the beginning to the end. The Lord saved. He gave him favor. He gave him the dimensions of the ark. He told him the timings. He provided the food so that they would survive. All from the hand of God. And even at this comedy moment, do you notice in verse 16? Who forgot to shut the door over dinner? Well, the Lord's hand shut him in. The Lord's hand is faithful to save. It might be that you're here today and you're a little bit worried. You're unsure if you can be saved. But don't look to yourself. Look to the Lord. Put your faith in him. Be like Noah. He believed and obeyed. Trusting God is difficult, isn't it? He must have looked really, really silly building that ark. But it is not silly to put your faith in a faithful God. He is faithful to judge and save. Well, we've seen what happens inside the ark. Now let's look what happens outside. And this is the second thing to remember. Outside the ark, everything is blotted out. Verse 17. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. The ark is safe. Everyone inside is safe. But before we place ourselves there, remember that by nature, we are outside the ark. This is the story of humanity, our story. We, by nature, face judgment. Outside the ark is a different story. And so let's look. Outside the ark, the Lord decreates his creation. Did you notice the flood waters rising and increasing greatly? It was God who made man to increase and multiply on the earth. And now it's the waters of judgment that are multiplied. And did you notice the repeated word? Outside the ark, judgment prevails. Verse 18, the waters prevailed. Verse 19, the waters prevailed. Verse 20, the waters prevailed. Verse 24, the waters prevailed. To what extent did they prevail? Over everything. Verse 19, and the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole earth were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. Outside the ark, everything is covered. You remember the first days of creation, how God ordered the universe. Days 1 to 3, he created space. Days 4 to 6, he filled that space. So day 2, he separated the waters from below and above to create the heavens. Day 3, he separated the waters horizontally so the dry land would come up. And day 5, he then filled the heavens with the birds. Day 6, he populated the land with mankind and animals to multiply on the earth. But we ruined God's good order. We multiplied evil, not good. What God made good, we made bad. So now God rightfully ruins us. He rewinds, he reverses creation. The waters before, they too were separated, now burst up from below and fall from above. The waters now come up over the mountains to cover the land. Outside the ark, everything is decreated. What a bad turn we took. How much a mess we made. That God would hit rewind. All that talk of human progress, of moving on and growing out of God. No, the Lord was right to hit rewind. If we disorder God and his creation, he will disorder us. We diss God, God will diss us. How arrogant we are. How humble we should be. And if the waters cover even the mountains, we know what will happen to the man and the animals and the birds in the sky. Decreation leads to death. Verse 21. And all flesh died that moved on the earth. Birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all mankind. Everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. Here's a photo of Mount Ararat, now in modern-day Armenia, with Turkey to the west, Iran to the southeast, and Russia to the north. It is one of the many high mountains in the Ararat region, mentioned later in Genesis 9, when Noah was floating on the ark at the time. A good reminder that this is real history. Over 5,000 meters tall. Imagine 5 kilometers of water covering everything. Imagine all the flesh, all the birds, all the livestock, covering all beasts, all swarming creatures, all mankind, all males, all females, all young, all old, all our neighbors, everyone. Imagine the breath of life they enjoyed, now dead. A good summary of Genesis so far, end of verse 22, life died. As we leave church today, look up to the BT Tower. Imagine 27 BT Towers stacked one on top of another. Imagine that depth of water covering everything. It would make the shard look like a pinprick at the bottom of the ocean floor. So often we like to think that we could escape judgment. We could just climb up the stairs, or we could get up on the roof, or climb a hill, and we'll be safe. But no, outside the ark, everything is covered. This is no freak accident of Mother Nature. This is the Lord. The author uses the word, not drowned, but died. Divine punishment. In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And again here, they die. Divine punishment. Made explicit in verse 23. He, the Lord, blotted them out. Everything blotted out. People scratched out of God's good plan for the world. That's a scary place to be. On the final day, a divine pen scratching you out. The Lord is faithful. He said previously that he will blot out man, 6 verse 7. He said, 7 verse 4, that every living thing I will blot out. And now he follows through. A few years into my first job, I told my team about this day of judgment. My boss said, I'd like to think I would survive. On Judgment Day, at the pearly gates, I'd like to think the Lord would say, you did not believe in Jesus, but I think you're a good lad and I'll let you in. My boss was a great boss, but he is greatly mistaken. All mankind is wicked, full of evil. And outside the ark, outside righteousness by faith in Jesus, you haven't got a hope in hell. It is a fearful thing to meet your Maker in judgment. The Lord's judgment will prevail. Do you see how hopeless our situation is? How humbling. What do you make of the news of a judgment day coming? How will you respond? Well, why not humbly put your faith in the Lord? The Lord who is faithful to judge and faithful to save. Because outside the ark, everything is covered. Everything is blotted out. Shall we read the final two verses of our passage to close? Only Noah was left, and those who are with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Shall we pray?
Heavenly Father, thank you for all we've seen about you in Genesis over the past few weeks. Thank you that you are a God who grieves over people living in rebellion against you and hating each other. Thank you that you are a God committed to dwelling with your people, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Thank you that you don't compromise your justice for your grace, nor your grace for your justice. Thank you that in your salvation plan, justice and grace meet perfectly as your Son takes upon himself the wrath we deserve for our rebellion and sets us free to live in relationship with you. Thank you that on the day when your Son returns to judge the living and the dead, we who trust in you can stand without fear, safe in Jesus. Have mercy on us, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now for the political unrest in our country. Please grant wisdom to our government as a new leader is appointed. Please have mercy on us and raise up a leader with integrity and with a heart to serve our country. We pray for the members of our church family here at Euston and for all Christians who serve in the government at this time. We pray they'd hold fast to their true and perfect King and that you'd use them for your glory as they work. We pray now for the political unrest in Sri Lanka. We pray for provision for our brothers and sisters there for food and their practical needs. We pray that they and many would long for a King who brings justice and will hold the leaders in that country accountable for their actions. We pray that they would proclaim your gospel of grace to those who are suffering, and that those who have caused suffering, we pray you'd open their eyes to their sin and their need for a saviour. In light of disappointing, selfish and corrupt human leaders in our country and across our world, we pray that many will call on the name of your Son, our servant King, the Lord Jesus, and that you'd have mercy on us all. Amen.